Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Gimel. We started this Masechta yesterday. We're up to Daf Gimel. We're about 7 lines down from the top with the words L'Rava Da'amar. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Harry Goldgrab, Tzvi Moshe ben Chaim Schneier, Samuel Isaacs, Tzvi Menachem ben Shmuel Chaim, and Aaron Herzog, Aaron ben Eliezer. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, let's remind ourselves that we started this beautiful Masechta yesterday. We had a famous machlokas between Rabba and Rava. Rabba tells us that we require the person delivering a get from Chutz Loretz, from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, to say Bifonai Nechtav, Bifonai Nechtam. And the reason for this, according to Rabba, is Lefi She'ein Bekiin Lishmo, because the people in Chutz Loretz were relatively Amaratzim compared to the people in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and they weren't Bekiin, they weren't knowledgeable that a get has to be written Lishmo from that specific husband to that specific wife, Nebuch, when he's divorcing her. And therefore, we have the witness come along and say, Bifonai Nechtam, to go and get around this concern that it wasn't written properly. The eight says it was written properly, Bifonai Nechtam. Rava gives a different reason. Rava says, Lefi She'ein Eidim Mitzuyin L'Kaimo, because there are not going to be people around to go and authenticate, to verify that these are the signatures, because the Medina Sayam is far away. There isn't a lot of travel. So therefore, this person comes and he says, yes, these are authentic signatures. Bifonai Nechtav. So, yes, they share. We explained why, according to Rabba, the rabbis accepted one witness. And that's where we're up to today. According to Rava, why did the rabbis allow just one person to come, and we don't require, like we normally do, two witnesses to come to say, Bifonai Nechtav. So again, we begin 7 lines down from the top, Gimel and Aleph, with the words, Ulu Rava, according to Rava, whose opinion is the reason why we require a witness to come from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, the Amal Afisha Ein Eidim Mitsuyin Lekaimo, because you're not going to find a lot of witnesses around to authenticate it. That's why the rabbis insisted that at least one witness come and say, Bifonai Nechtam. So, Libayi Trey, again, why don't we require two witnesses? Same question we asked at the end of Yeshua to Rabba. We're now asking to Rava. Midi, Dahavi Yakim Shtaros Yama, as we do in general. We always require two witnesses to come and authenticate a shtar. Why over here did the rabbis allow one witness to come and say, Bifonai Nechtam, and that is acceptable? So the Gemara gives the same teretz and a lot of the shakot of Tari that we had from yesterday. So we have Luchazar already. So Eid Echad Neman Bisurim. They wanted to say because a single witness is believed in regards to Yisurim. As we pointed out yesterday, Rashi says this is just the way of life. One person comes along and says he shechted. One person along comes along and says he took to some Isurim. We don't require to aid them. For Yisurim, we allow one witness. And Tosas wrote down, we actually learned this out from a woman where it says Vesafra Lo, that she has to count the Zayinikim, that we believe this one woman. The source for Eid Echad Neman Bisurin is all because we believe the testimony of a single woman. That's the source. In any event, the Gemara says, the reason why we allowed one witness to be accepted over here is because of this principle, Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. The Gemara, however, rejected this yesterday and rejects it again today. When do we say, the Gemara says, Eimod Yamrin and Eid Echad Neman Bisurin, under what circumstances do we believe a single witness? That's when you're dealing with something that is a known simple factor in front of you. You have a piece of meat, a piece of fat in front of you. As we pointed out, chaylev is non-permissible fat. Shuman is permissible fat. This is found in the behemoths category of kosher animals, the goats, sheep, and cow families, where there's a difference between chaylev and shuman. In the 7 chayos, there is no difference between chaylev and shuman. All the fats are permissible. This is because they're not brought on the Beis HaMikdash. Only behemoths are brought on the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash distinguishes between chaylev and shuman. So therefore, we distinguish between chaylev and shuman. So kigon chaticha, you have a piece of meat in front of you. You're not sure. Safik shel chaylev, safik shel shuman. The fat's on it. You're not sure if it's chaylev, non-permissible fat, or it's shuman, permissible fat. So in this situation, we believe a single witness to say that this is permissible fat, this is shuman, because delo is chazik isura. Because we don't know for certain that this was asur, it's a question, it's a suffix. And therefore this person comes along and says, no, it's permissible fat, it never was asur. He's just clarifying to us that it's permissible. That's why eidecha is neman bisur. Aval hachab, in the case of the get, listen, this woman was a married woman. Is chazik yisur deishasish? We know she's a married woman. That's not in doubt. The question is, was she divorced? Is she not divorced? So the simple reading over here is, have a dover should ever. This is a dover should ever. Yes, so we explained this. Two ways to understand this. We'll just read it nice and simple now. So this is something that is dealing with arayas. And whenever you're dealing with arayas, a dover should ever, pachs be base. You have to have two witnesses. So we're back to our original question. Why did the rabbis accept one witness to come from Medina Sayam and say, Bifonai Nechtam, Bifonai Nechtam? Why is that? So the Gemara says, in fact, bidinhu, the halacha should be the bekim shtaros nami loibai. In fact, you should never require any witnesses for a kim of a shtaros. Why is that? Kidei Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish taught us Gemara Reish Lakish, edim hachasum al hashtar. Because those witnesses that are on the document are considered as if they've been interrogated already and authenticated by a Beis Din. Rashi points out, why is that? Because nobody would be so chutzpahdik as to falsely sign on a document. And therefore, if somebody is willing to put their name on the signature on a document, there's an automatic acceptance, there's a din of kashrus that we accept that this person, in fact, did sign, and this is a valid shtar. So when somebody signs on a shtar, you technically need no witnesses to authenticate it. However, the rabbis came along and said, Rabbanon, who did Atzrich? The rabbis came along and said, no, we better go and take care of the fact that some people are so mechutzof, and therefore, we better have some authentication. However, in general, they require two witnesses, but here, in regards to the get, v'hacha, mishum iguna, because of the potential, Rahman al-Islam concern, that this woman is going to be a chained woman, she's going to be an aguna, she's not going to be able to ever get married, because she's really divorced, but this get wasn't authenticated. We're saying that you require two witnesses. And it's very hard, according to Rava, to get two witnesses to come from the Medina Sayyam to here. It's far away. There is no Lefish Ein Eidim Mitzurin Lekaima. That's his shita. And therefore, the rabbis will make all Mishum Iguna to allow one witness, Akilu Bar Rabbanon, and a single witness is allowed. And the warrior asked the same question that he asked yesterday. Hi, Kulu. You're telling me this is a Kula? It's actually a Chomu. It's actually going to be, ultimately, to the woman's discredit. It's going to be for a trouble for her, because if you require two edim, so the imitzrachas leitrei lo osi bal ma'are uposole, then the husband is never going to come along and say, hey, I didn't write that get, she's still my wife. And if there's two witnesses, so then his error, his saying that that's not true, is ignored, because you have two witnesses. But if we allow one witness, chad, osi bal ma'arer uposole, then we allow one witness and the husband could come along and say, hey, listen, that witness is wrong. And it's my word against his word. He's only one witness. So I'm believed. And the woman, in fact, will have gotten married and have children. And Rahman al-Tzad would be a terrible takala. Her children will now be mamzerim, because she is still considered as a married woman. So the Gemara says, no, it's not really a kula that will come with chumrah. Kiven the Omar Mar, since we've already learned, Bifnei kama nos no law, that we have, and we have this discussion yesterday, and we're having it again now. We haven't learned this yet. This will be learned in an upcoming shiur. Since we have a rule, how many people must witness the get being delivered? So Rav Yochanan and Rav Chanina, it's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Chanina, chad amar bifnei shnayim, chad amar bifnei gimel, either two or three witnesses have to be there. And therefore, this single witness who comes along to say before nechtam, meikara meidagdaik, he's going to be very, very careful to make sure there were two or three witnesses over there, he's going to go check it out. And therefore, there's no way the husband is going to come along subsequently and say, hey, that's not true, because there were at least two or three witnesses over there. The husband would claim that it's not true. He'll eventually be shown to be a liar, and therefore, we don't have to be concerned about this. And therefore, because of Aguna, we are, in fact, going to allow one witness. This technically, you don't need any. The rabbi said you normally need two, but in this situation, the rabbi's allowed one. And this is how Rava answers the same question that was posed to Rabbi yesterday, why one witness was allowed over here, and we don't require two witnesses we normally do. So now the Gemara goes and says, how come Rava didn't say like Rabba, and how come Rabba didn't say like Rava? Again, Rava, my taima lo amar ki Rabba, to say that lo bikin l'shma. That's a good answer. Why didn't Rava like that answer? Lefisha ein b'kiyin l'shma. So amalach. So Rava would say, if it had said a certain lashon, then I would have agreed with Rava. Miktane b'fanei nechtav l'shma. B'fanei nechtam l'shma. If Rava is right, it should have said, the critical factor is lefisha ein b'kiyin l'shma. So then the single witness should have had to said b'fanei nechtav, not just the low nechtav, b'fanei nechtav l'shma. And he should have said, b'fanei nechtam l'shma. It didn't say that. So, miktane b'fanei nechtam l'shma, b'fanei nechtam l'shma, didn't say that. So obviously, that's not the critical factor. The critical factor, Rava says, is like me. L'fi she'ein edim etzuyim l'kaimo. Oh, that's why I don't want to say it like Rabba. No, that's a good kasha. Why did Rabba then say it? So Rabba would answer as follows. Rabba, bedinu delisnei hachi. He said, yeah, you're 100% right. It should have said, b'fanei nechtam l'shma. That would have been really what it ideally should have said. However, if we had added the extra word, Elodi'i mifshas le'dibura osi limigzayeh, we're concerned that if we made this nusach a little bit too long, he may mess up and not say the whole nusach. And if he doesn't say the whole nusach, it'll be actually worse. And so Rashi says, osi limigzayeh, the lo yomar kulu, if he doesn't say the whole thing, then we have a problem. Because by reading with Kamad, it's going to tell us in a couple of days, if you do not go and say the exact nusach, if you don't have the exact get, so then the vlad is a mamzer. The woman's not considered divorced. If she gets married and has children, that vlad will be a mamzer. So it's actually worse if the rabbi had said, say three words, and then he only said two words. If the rabbis had said, you have to say b'fani nechtav l'shma, and he, in fact, only said b'fani nechtav, so then it would be an invalid get. And therefore, in that situation, the woman's remarrying is the iser. She's still a married woman, and any child born would be a mamzer. So therefore, because of this concern of also the exai, he may not say the whole thing. Therefore, Rabbi said, don't make him say such a long thing. Just say b'fani nechtav. And then when he comes, we'll ask him, what did you mean by b'fani nechtav? He'll say, yeah, it was written in front of me, lishma, and it was signed in front of me, lishma. And therefore, we'll accomplish what we need to accomplish. So the Gemara says, but even if you're right, b'fani nechtav, that's a long girsa. Hashtanami, osim exai. Why aren't you concerned if he has to say these two things that he won't say it wrong? Oh, if he says b'fani nechtav lishma, then we're concerned. But if he just has to say b'fani nechtav, then you're not concerned. B'fani nechtav lishma, you should say. But if he says b'fani nechtav, you're not concerned. Maybe he'll shorten that too. Osim exai. So the Gemara says, chodomitlas goyis. If you ask him to say three things, as Rashi says over here, tevos kagon b'fonai nichtav lishma, so then a person might make a mistake. The zimnim, the lo amar, el b'fonai nichtav. He'll miss up one word. However, if you're only asking him to say b'fonai nichtav, there's no way he'll just say b'fonai. No way he'll just say nichtav. So therefore, one of three words, he might mess up. From one of two words to say, he won't mess up. And therefore, that's why Rabbah is not a problem. And he says, you have to be concerned about because Lefisha ain b'kiyim lishma, and therefore, that's why Rabbah says it. No, Rabbah doesn't like it because he says it should have said b'fani nechtav lishma if that was the case. Now we turn it the other way. Why didn't Rabbah say, my time lo amar ki Rabbah? Why didn't he say Lefisha ain edim mitzuyim l'kaima? After all, that seems to be valid. So what would Rabbah answer to that? Amar loch, Rabbah would say, if that was the reasoning in Cain, all he would have had to have said was, Nisne b'fonai nechtam. The sulav. He wouldn't have to say anything else. Because after all, if all you're concerned about is the kiyum of the shtar, so just say, yeah, it was signed in front of me. B'fonai nechtav lomali. Why would he have to say also b'fonai nechtav? Oh, from the fact that the rabbis required him to say b'fonai nechtav as well as b'fonai nechtam, shma mina, Rabbah says, bo'ino lishma. You see, the critical factor over here, it has to be written lishma. And therefore, that's why I don't like Rabbah's teretz. No, this is a good kash on Rabbah. What would Rabbah respond to that? Rabbah, what would he say? Rabbah would say, bidinu delistehoch. You're 100% right. Technically, he should have just had to say b'fonai nechtam. However, elo de'im kein, if we were to allow that, if we allow one witness to say, yeah, it was signed in front of me, so then that could lead to a takala that in other cases will allow a single aid to go and authenticate a shtar. And therefore, that was the concern that Rava had. And to go and counter that, make the aid say over here before they nechtav as well, and therefore people say, hey, this is something unusual, we can't generalize this to all other cases as well. The Gemara says, however, the Rabba, he would say, no, I don't think that's correct. Your concern is not a valid concern. Me dummy, why are you concerned over here that if we allow him to just say before they nechtav, then it could lead to kiyum of other stars, b'eid echad, and that's why I'd have to say before they nechtav as well. I would show you that there's several differences over here that would clearly not make a person say, well, if we allowed you to do this by Gittin, we would also allow it by other shtaros. Why is that? Because Rabbah tells us, me dummy, they're not comparable. Hasam, in the case of routine shtaros authentication, yad inon, everybody would know that it was different because all they have to say is that these signatures are authentic. But here they have to say, not only are these signatures authentic, hocha b'fanai, they were signed in front of me. Normally, it would be adequate to say, they were signed. Yeah, these are authentic signatures. I don't have to have been there. Yeah, I just recognize that those are the signatures. However, here you have to say that I was there when they signed it. That was going to say, wow, that's different. Nobody's going to now make a generalization and say, if they could do that over here by get, you can do that everyplace else, because everyplace else, you don't have to say it was signed in front of me. So therefore, that's point number one. Furthermore, Rabba says, Hossam, in the case of a regular shtar authentication, Isha Lomhemna, we don't believe a woman. She's not kosher liedus. The Torah tells us the women are pasul liedus. Here, however, Hocha Isha Hemna, if the husband designates a woman to be the shaliach to go bring the get from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, the woman is believed. So nobody's going to make a mistake and say, well, if we believe here by get, then we believe authentication by other shtaros with one witness. No, here we believe with a woman. Nobody would say, therefore, let's go and say that all other cases should be believed with a woman as well. Everybody knows that the woman is psula liedus. Number three, Hossam, Baal Dover Lo Mehemen. If somebody comes along, and he's one of the litigants, so he's not believed to say anything about the shtar, yet, in our case with the get, Hocha, Baal Dover Mehemen, if the woman herself, who is being divorced, is sent by the husband to go and deliver her own get to be authenticated in Eretz Yisrael, he says, here's your get, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, that's when the get takes effect, so the woman herself is allowed to go and carry her own get, and she is believed. And therefore, as Rashi says, the Baal Din is believed over here. Hocha Baal Dover Mehemen Ha Isha Atzma V'yaz Gita Mimdina Sayam B'Torah Shlichos. The husband can say, I'm giving you this get, but it's only taking effect when you get to Eretz Yisrael. You can go on the Amala Baal, her husband tells her, Al Tizgarshi Bo, you're not divorced with this get, Ela B'Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. U'Bavach Tei Tzricha Lomar, and she has to also say, B'Fanei Nechtav, B'Fanei Nechtam. We'll see this in the next parak. So therefore, for all of these reasons, Rabbi said, why are you telling me that that's why the rabbis insisted that this witness say, b'fanei nechtav, because if he only says b'fanei nechtav, it could lead to an inappropriate conclusion that such a single witness is believed in other shtaros. For these three reasons, Rabbi said, that's not a concern. Nu, what would Rabbi say to this? Rabbi, how would he respond? Amaloch, Rabbi would respond, atu hocha. In the case over here of the Gad, Ki Amre Yadinan. Now, the way Rashi has the gears over here, Rashi has the gears of Ki Omar, the single witness comes and says, Yodea Ani Mi Lo Mehemen. If he were to say that I know these are the signatures, wouldn't he be believed? Rashi has this as an aid echod. If you look in the Rashi, Dira Masu, Otu Hocha, Ki Omar Yodea Ani Mi Lo Mehemen, Hol Udide Taima Mishum Kiyumu. According to Rava, the whole purpose of the single witness being allowed is to be Mekayim the Shtar, because there are not a lot of people coming. So, E Amar Yodei Ani B'Chasimas Yodei Ha'edim Mi Lo Mehemen, if this single witness were to come along and say, I know these signatures, and they are authenticated, D'Mali B'Fanai Mali Yodei Ani, there would be no difference whether he said B'Fanai Nichtav B'Fanai Nechtam, or if he just says, I know these signatures. V'Kivan D'Hachi Hu, and since that's the Halacha, Ilad D'Matzricha Nami Aksiva D'Tehev Eheker Ben Gittin L'Shtaros. If it wasn't for this fact over here that we're required to say B'Fanai, so then you're right, there would be no potential difference. However, Asi L'Chluve in that situation became L'Shtaros D'Yama L'Kaiminu B'Eid Echad. But here, he doesn't say just, I recognize the signatures. So therefore, in this situation, v'kivan d'chi'amre yadina mehemnei, so osi l'chluvi b'kivim shtaros d'yama, b'eid echad. And therefore, that's why the rabbis insisted that he say, b'fanei nechtav over here, b'fanei nechtam. So it has to be both l'shonos over here, in order to make sure that we don't make such a confusion and say, if it was good over here, it's good elsewhere. That's the way Rashi learns this. He changes around the girsa and says, we're dealing here with one witness. Tosfos says, you could even leave the girsa that we had, that it was ki amrei, that the witnesses say, because Tosfos says, di ramatzel otu ki amrei, he says that we're dealing over here with witnesses in general. It's the one witness, but he uses the plural lashon for the witnesses in general, but it's the one witness that we're referring to. Then Tosfos says he disagrees with that whole answer of Rashi, gives a different answer. In any event, we'll just learn it simple like Rashi over here, with the change in the gears or not the change in the gears. Tosfos doesn't make a difference if you change the gears or not, according to Rashi's understanding. Bottom line is, that's why Rava says, that's the b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Okay, so we've resolved all of the questions to Rava and Rava, each of them, why they don't hold like the other one's shita. And now the Gemara continues and says, according to Rabbah, who says, Lefi, the Rabbah, the Omer, Lefi, She'ain, Bikin, Lishma. So, The Gemara says, who is the author of our Mishnah? Man Haitana. Now again, Rabbi says you have to say both b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtav. You need to say both. If you need to say both, that implies that the ksiva as well as the chasima both must be lushva. And that's the Gemara's question. Man Haitana, who is the author of our Mishnah that seems, according to Rabbi, to require that you have the boy ksiva lishma, and not only that, ubaye, and we turn to Gimel and Beis, also chasima lishma. As the Gemara will now go through on this Omud Beis, we don't seem to know a Tana that requires both the ksiva and the chasima to be lishma. And this introduces us a little bit to a famous machlokas as to whether the Ede chasima are karsi, like Rav Meir, or whether the Ede mesira are karsi, like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And we'll see these two shitas more in today's shiur, much more later in the Masechta, but this is a fundamental difference as to what is the way the get is effectuated. Is it because of the signatures of the Edom? You have to do it with Edom. Is it the signatures of the Edom that make the get effective, or is the Edom watching the Mesira? Is that what makes it effective? And the signatures on the get are just there for another reason. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's assume the author of our Mishnah is Rav Meir. E. Rav Meir, who, as Rashi tells us in the very top Rashi, Domar Ikar Ashtar Zuhi Chasima. So Rav Meir is of the opinion that Edi Chasima is Karsi, the writing and signing of the witnesses on the get, is the critical factor that that's what makes the get an effective get. E. Rav Meir, who says Chasima boy, so then Kisiva lo boy. Then why would you have to say Bifane Nechtav? That is not essential according to Rav Meir. How do we know that? Because it's not. We're going to learn in the Mishnah. This will be on Daf Chav Aleph. It says over there, "Ein kosvin b'mechuba l'karka," that you can't go right. It says you have a papyrus tree, and the papyrus leaves, you're going to write the get on those leaves. So you're not allowed to write it while it's mechuba l'karka, while it's still attached to the ground. You can't write the get on the papyrus leaf. "Ein kosvin b'mechuba l'karka," but b'di'evet kisavo ala mechuba l'karka. If you then did write it when it was mechuba l'karka, and then to lasho you removed it from the karka, you cut it off, and now after it was cut off, chasamo, that's when the witnesses signed it, unisanala, and then you gave it to the woman, it is a kosher get. As Rashi points out, la halacha is that it must be written because of law. It has to be written, according to Rav Meir, the chasima has to be for her, and there can't be any pause in between the chasima, the signing of this, and giving it to the woman. So if you had signed it while it was, in fact, still attached to the ground, even Rav Meir would say it's no good. But here, as long as it was written while it was attached to the ground, but then detached, and then signed, and then given, Rav Meir would say it's good, at least bid the evet. So law show, if you cut it from the ground, and then the witnesses signed it, chasamo, and then it was given to an son-in-law, kosher, that's not a problem. So clearly, you see from here that the ksiva doesn't have to be done properly. Therefore, the ksiva doesn't have to be done lishma. As we'll see later on, Rav Meir allows it to even go take a shtar that you found in the garbage. It wasn't written lishma, and use that as long as the chasima is lishma. So obviously, if the author of our Mishnah were to be Rav Meir, there'll be no reason to write b'fonai nechtav. All you have to say was b'fonai nechtav. Must be then Rabbi Elazar. So where it says, E Rabbi Elazar, if you're telling me that the author of the Mishnah is in fact Rabbi Elazar, it also doesn't work. He only requires the ksiva boy. He says that the get must be written lishma, but the chasima lo boy. He doesn't require technically a chasima. The get would be kosher as long as there were edei mesira, as long as there were witnesses that saw the get being given. Even if there was no signatures on the get, it's a kosher get. So again, we're back to our question. Who is the author of our Mishnah? It can't be Rav Meir. He doesn't require ksivas. So why would the Eid Echad have to say, b'fonai nechtav? And if it was Rabbi Elazar, so then, granted, you're right, required the ksiva, but why would you have to say, b'fonai nechtav? He doesn't require chasima. So this is the question, according to Rabba, who says it's because of ein b'ki and lishma, so you require lishma. So Rabba seems to require lishma, both for the ksiva and the chasima, but we don't have such a tana. Rav Meir only requires the chasima be lishma, and Rabbi Elazar only requires that the ksiva be lishma. Why would you then have to say, b'fonei nechta, b'fonei nechta? That's the kasha on Rabba. Tomorrow we'll go to try and say, maybe it's Rav Meir, maybe it's Rabbi Elazar, and ultimately come up to a conclusion that it really is Rabbi Elazar. That will be the rest of the shiur for today. So the Gemara continues and says, "Nu v'chitema liolam Rabbi Elazar." He, let us say that it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that it's ksiva boy chasima lo boy. Nu v'chilo boy Rabbi Elazar chasima lishma. Rabbi Elazar doesn't require mi chasima lishma mi deraisa on a deraisa level. However, even Rabbi Elazar requires it mi derabbanon boy, and therefore our Mishnah really is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. On a deraisa level, you have to say before nai nichtav, and on a derabbanon level, you have to say before nai nechtam. That's the resolution to who's the author of our Mishnah. Boy says that's not right. That can't be. Shlosha gitim psulin derabbanon, because we have later on in the Mishnah, it's going to tell us that there are three gitim that are possible mid derabbanon, and Rabbi Elazar is going to argue that, implying that he doesn't hold that they're possible mid derabbanon. V'lo bar Rabbi Elazar chasim lishma, and we'll see from those Mishnayos that he doesn't require even mid derabbanon a chasima. Where is this? So did not. We learn in the following Mishnah. This would be in Daf Yud Zayin. And later in the Masechta as well, it says there, Beferish, Gimel, Gitin, Psulim. There are three Gitin that are Psulim. However, that's only true on a Durabana level. Bid the Raisa, they're perfectly good Gitin. And therefore, Bid the Ebbe, Vimni says, if the woman got married with these, quote, Gitin that are Psulim, so if she did get married, so her children have Vlad Kosha, they're not considered Mamzer, because on a Daraisa level, she really is divorced. It's only Midir Rabbanan that additional things are required. What are these three Gitin that are only possible Midir Rabbanan, but would be good on a Daraisa level? So, Kosav, Bichsav, Yodo, the Ein Olav Edim. The first one is that if the person who was divorcing his wife, he hand wrote the get himself, and there are no witnesses on it. As Rashi says, Yadabal, he wrote it himself. So on a Daraisa level, that's a perfectly good get. No, me the rabbi, and the rabbis required that there be witnesses on it. Second one was, Yeshalov Eidim, V'ein Bo Zman. There are Eidim on it, however, there is no Zman. Rashi says, Be'ez Zman Nichta. There is no time that the get was recorded. So on a Daraisa level, it's good. Me the rabbi, and the rabbi said, you have to have Zman. And the third one is, Yesh Bo Zman. It does have Zman on it. V'ein Bo Elo Eidecha. There's only one witness signed on it. Rashi says, Uksav Yidei Sofer is the second witness, so to say. So there are only one witness signed and the writer of the get, the Sofer. In all of these situations, on a Daraisa level, it's good. But the rabbi said, no, we don't accept these. Hare Elu Shlosha Gitim Sula. We wouldn't allow them to be used, Midirabbanan. Therefore, however, the Imnises of Lat Kosha. But if, in fact, the woman did use these types of gittim, as Rashi says, that therefore, Alma Tanakamo Gufe Lo Posil El Midrabani. You see that this psul only is Midrabani, because he says, Vimnises of Vlad Kosha. If the woman did get married, the Vlad is Kosha. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ava Pishain Olav Eidim, Elish in a son of law, Bifne Eidim, Kosha. Rabbi Elazar says, even Midrabanon, they're good. Even though there are no Eidim on them, Midirabbanim, it's still good. As long as there are Eidim Isira, as long as there are Eidim that witness the giving the get, it is perfectly good. And as Rashi continues, and he says, Umi Depolig, Rabbi Elazar, Alei, since Rabbi Elazar argues over here with the Tanakama says that you need the Chasima Midirabbanim. Rabbi Elazar says you don't even need the Chasima Midirabbanim. Shmamino, Afilu L'chadchila Machshir. He holds it as good, even L'chadchila. And therefore, you can't say that Rabbi Elazar is the author of our Mishnah and say that on a derais level he requires b'fanei nechtam, and he doesn't require only midrabbanon, b'fanei nechtam, that's just not true. He doesn't require it even midrabbanon. And the Mishnah continues and says that it is such a strong opinion of Rabbi Elazar that you can use such a get. He says you can even use such a get, the gova, you can even go and use such a get. Rashi has two interpretations over here. According to the first interpretation of Rashi, you can say, you can even go and collect with such a get from leaned properties, from properties that had been sold off by the husband before the divorce, but the marriage occurred before, and so there was already a lien on those properties with a ksuba. And with such a ksuba, you can even collect with such leaned properties. That's Rashi's first shot. Rashi has a second shot over here that says, it's just talking about a regular get over here. This is a regular shtar, not a get of a woman, but you could use such a shtar. Again, we pointed out yesterday that a shtar, technically, get means shtar, albeit in the vernacular, it always means a get for a woman, but you could use such a get to go collect even from nechosim mishubadim. Why? She'ena edim chos min ala get elam ne tikkun olam, because the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that the edim only signed because of tikkun olam. As Rashi says, shema yamusu edim, maybe the edim asiru will die. Rishut ein lo eidos, and there'll be no proof that this is a valid document. And therefore, lefikach nagu lachtom, the minhag came about that they would go and sign on the get, dim yamusu, in case the eidim asira died. Tira chasimosam, you could see the chasima le'eidim acherim biyakiru, so other people would be able to go and prove that this was a valid get. Therefore, that's why they sign. It's only a minhag, so to say, to sign on it, and therefore, you can't say that Rabbi Elazar is the author of a mishnah, because he doesn't require chasima, even midirabban. So therefore, we're stuck. The author of the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, no, Ve'ela Rabbeir. So let's go back and say, try to prove that it's Rabbeir, who says that you require Eide Chasima, but you don't require Eide Kasiba. Ve'ela Rabbeir, let us say that our Mishnah is, in fact, the opinion of Rabbeir. How do you reconcile that? V'chi lo boi Rabbeir, Kasiba l'shmo midaraisa. Let us say over here, yes, he doesn't require Kasiba l'shmo midaraisa, but midiraban and bai. But similar to what we just tried to do with Elazar, we want to split it and say, yeah, Chasima, that is required on a deraisa level. Kasiba is not, but the rabbis then instituted Kasiba as a rabbinical requirement. And therefore, the author of our mission is Rabbeir. Kasiba midirabanan, Chasima midaraisa. So Gemara says that can't be. Because Rav Nachman told us that Omer Haya Rav Meir, that Rav Meir's opinion was Afilu Mitzol Ba'ashba. I mentioned this a little bit earlier in the shir. Even if you find a get in the garbage, in other words, somebody else wrote it, either for practice or they wrote it for their wife, and then they decided not to divorce their wife, and they threw it in the garbage. Now, you find this, wow, this is a perfectly good get. I could save myself a couple of bucks by not having to go to a sofer. Afilu Mitzol Ba'ashba. The person finds this get in the ashba, and we turn to Dalet Amud Aleph. He uses this get, the chasamo, he has his witnesses sign on the get, and then goes unisono law, he gives the get to his wife, kosher. Rebbe says this is kosher. Now, you're going to tell me, v'chitema anami daraisu komasnina law, that you're telling us that only on a daraisa level does Rebbe not require that the ksiva be lishma, but on a derabana level he does, so then he should have said so. Because the language that he uses over here certainly implies it doesn't make any difference. I mean, the rice of the rabbanon, if you found it in the garbage, he has the witness to sign and he gives it to her, it's a valid get. They don't seem to distinguish between the rice and the rabbanon. This Mishnah states over here, Omer Hayu Rav Meir, Dvar Torah mi boyle. It should have said, if he holds only on a deraisa level, that it is acceptable mi the rabbanon, you do have to write it also. Ksiva has to be for her, so he should have said so, because the way it states in the Mishnah, it implies that it doesn't make any difference whether it's deraisa or midirabanan. Mitzvah, ashba, v'chasamo, v'nisanallah, it's a perfectly good get. And therefore, that can't be the answer, that it's Rav Meir, the author of our Mishnah, and he distinguishes between deraisa and derabanan. Chasima, deraisa, and ksiva is just midirabanan. Now, Rav Meir holds that even the ksiva doesn't have to be midirabanan, don lishma. So again, we're back to our original question. We are stuck. The Mishnah can't be Rav Meir, as we just said, and as we proved a few minutes ago, the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Elazar. So who is the author of our Mishnah? So we conclude today's shiur by saying, Ela li'olam Rabbi Elazar. No, in fact, it is Rabbi Elazar, who normally requires the Eide Mesira to be the critical factor, and doesn't require the Chasima. Nevertheless, b'chi lo boy Rabbi Elazar Chasima, when do we say that Rabbi Elazar doesn't require Chasima, Hecha deleka edim klal. That's if you don't have any witnesses at all. So Rabbi Elazar says, technically, that is fine. On a deraisa and even midirabanan level, you don't require witnesses. But the worst thing to do is to have improper witnesses. And therefore, improper witnesses are actually worse than no witnesses at all. It'd be much better to have no witnesses on the get. But once you have witnesses on the get, hecha deika edim, boy, then you have to have that they stated it was done lishma. They're testifying over here that it was done lishma, and therefore you have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. Heikot ika edim boy. The Amar Rabbi Abba, the Rabbi Abba tells us, mode Rabbi Elazar b'mizuyof mitochal shupasul. Even though Rabbi Elazar doesn't require witnesses, he agrees that if the witnesses that you have are possible witnesses, as Tosu points out, let's say they were family members, they were relatives, they were possibly aidists, they weren't kosher witnesses, so then that's worse than having no witnesses. Possible witnesses are worse. That makes the document no good. Similarly, what the Gemara is now answering is that Rabbi Elazar is the author of a Mishnah, and he says, the witness comes from Medina Sayyam and says, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam, so that has to be lishma. Because if he comes and just says, yeah, it was signed, that wouldn't be good enough. He has to now. That would be like having a possible witness. So therefore, that's worse than having no witness at all. So when Rabbi Elazar says, you have a witness, Mibidina Sayam, coming and saying, before Nai Nechtam, it has to be saying Lishma, even though he doesn't require it Lishma. But once you have somebody coming, they have to say it correctly, because if an aid is Mezuyav, that's worse than not having Edim at all. And that is the answer why Rabbi Elazar is the author of a Mishnah. Well, this will conclude today's Shia. Tomorrow we'll suggest, no, there's another Tana that could be the author of our Mishnah. With this, we conclude today's Shia.